packs.
Currently 34 degrees in Lynchburg, 37 in Bedford, 40 in Salem, 37 in Roanoke, 34 in Danville.
We're going to have Matt Ferguson on the line here in just a couple of minutes.
Get his expert opinion.
Yeah, because the snow is coming, and we just don't know how much, and we want to rely on his. His skills are much better when it comes to this. Skills of being silly is my job. Skills of Matt Ferguson, other than singing Christmas music jingles on his commercial, is giving us great forecasts.
Well, he's a Renaissance man for sure.
Let's just forget about that.
So this is boy, this is your weekend to shine, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got my hands full this weekend. This is what we call an old-fashioned Virginia snowstorm. It is on the way for sure. And I just took a look at the latest information. The storm system is moving, at least the energy with the storm system is moving through Iowa and that part of the nation right now. It drops south, picks up Gulf moisture, and then it starts moving back north and east and picks up Atlantic moisture. So not only do we have Gulf and Atlantic, we've got all that coming together. And on top of that, you got to have the cold air. And I was looking this morning up just north of the Great Lakes. We have temperatures right now between minus 20 and minus 30 degrees.
Wow.
So there's going to be plenty of cold air being pulled into this storm system. So it's coming.
The
storm starts to move in on Sunday morning, probably around daybreak.
Okay.
It's going to start off as just light snow, but then as we head through the day, it gets heavier and heavier. And by afternoon, it's coming down pretty hard. Could be coming down an inch or 2 inches an hour.
Wow.
The only question mark I have right now is the exact track of the low.
Okay.
Right now, the low is going to move just over Raleigh, North Carolina. And if it does that, it's going to bring in a little bit of ice. Mm. And I'm talking about sleet here, not really freezing rain, but sleet. That's where the little ice pellets,
right,
you know, falling from the sky. And that could cut down on snow totals.
Okay.
So, if the low would happen to track a little bit farther to the east, then it would be pulling in even more cold air, so it would stay mainly snow. So here's what I'm thinking. All right, so Lynchburg area, I would expect anywhere between 8 and 12 inches of snow out of this one. And we're talking about Amherst County, into Bedford, Campbell County, Appomattox, those locations.
Okay.
South side, we're looking at anywhere between about 6 and 10 inches of snow, depending on the track of the low. And then Roanoke Valley, because the Blue Ridge Parkway is a really good kind of like a barrier. So when that warm air starts to try to nose in mid-levels, it holds it back. So Roanoke Valley, Shenandoah Valley, all those locations will probably stay all snow. So they're looking at 10 to 15 inches from pretty much Covington through Roanoke into Blacksburg and then into Southwest Virginia. So it's coming, so get prepared.
I've always been intrigued by how the mountains protect us, Matt. And you, when you think of the atmosphere and how these things move, It's lower than we think. If that mountain, and as big as it is, we get joked by people that live out in Colorado where they have real mountains. The height is just enough, and it's so long that it disrupts these things from just coming straight over at us.
Yep, it sure does. About when storms are coming in from the west, which this one is not, but when they do come in from the west, usually 70% of the time the mountains do break them up in some form or another. And those studies have been shown from folks all over at all meteorological universities. So it is quite interesting that that's the case. But I do believe, and I've seen it happen before, where Lynchburg gets around 10 inches of snow mm-hmm. because there's more sleet or ice mixing in.
Right.
But the Blue Ridge Parkway just holds that mid-level, what we call warm nose, mm-hmm. back, and it just stays all snow in Roanoke and Blacksburg, and that's when it, you know, they. I remember one time it was around 10 or 12 inches in Lynchburg,
mm-hmm.
and this has had to be back probably in the 2009-2010 snowstorms mm-hmm. when we had like three blizzards back to back to back.
Right.
Well, I think they got about 20 or 22 inches of snow in Roanoke, and it was the same type setup. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's going to be the case.
Right.
But with these type storm systems, anything is really possible, especially when it's tapping in so much warmth from the Atlantic
mm-hmm.
and then having the cold air that we were talking about earlier that's in eastern Canada right now all coming together at the same time. That really causes storms to intensify rapidly.
A perfect storm,
yeah,
for sure.
So tell us, yeah. because we know what's probably coming, you know, Sunday into Monday, what does the rest of the week look like? Because that's going to kind of affect if we get melting and that kind of thing. Do you?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's going to, of course, it's going to stick all over the road. Mm-hmm. So probably Monday is a snow day for everybody.
Right.
I'm sure that VDOT and all the road crews will do a wonderful job cleaning up afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's going to be so much snow on the side of the road.
Right.
Next week, we're looking at temperatures in the 30s and 40s. So in the daytime, it'll melt. But right. then at night, it's dropping back below freezing into the 20s. So,
yeah.
you know, refreezing of ice, black ice on roads.
Sure.
Definitely likely pretty much most of, at least through the middle of next week into the latter week time frame.
Is there any storms, because I'm asking you to forecast a little further out, is there anything out there brewing that looks like we could get another something like this behind it, a week behind or whatever, or how far out can you kind of go for us there?
No specifics, but I'll tell you, Janet and Mark, we're in this pattern right now, and it's the same type pattern of 1996. And if you were around here in 96,
I remember.
You were digging out. It was up to your knees or even waist in some locations.
Yeah.
So it's that same pattern where cold air is dropping down. We've got an active storm track to the south. And when you got the cold air and storms coming together, the chances of snow and ice here are high.
Well, just get ready. Learn to love it because it's coming.
and Janet, I hear last time you lost your power with the last one we got. Is that true?
I did.
Okay.
And it was off and on and off and on. I mean, we're uh-huh. equipped. I mean, we love where we live. We live there for a reason. But we also know that part of living there means that chances are we are going to be without power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another point I wanted to bring up is anytime you have these heavier snowstorms, you could easily lose power. So it's always a good idea to be prepared,
mm-hmm.
you know, charge those cell phones mm-hmm. and
right.
and have your milk and bread in the house for those milk sandwiches because they're always the best, right?
I had a girlfriend who posted, said, I just went to the store and bought bread. I don't even eat bread. So... You know, we had a listener who said that they do in some parts of the country, their forecast is done by the number of gallons of milk and bread that you need for the storm. Where would you rate yeah. this one? Is this a 3 gallon, 2 loaf kind of storm?
At least.
Well, you throw the eggs in there, and I tell you, you could make some French toast.
It's true.
As
yes.
long as you got some
there
honey
go.
Or syrup or something.
All right.
Matt, thank you so much for your time, and you guys be careful as you navigate through this. I know you have a couple of kids that are probably going to love it come, you know.
Oh, yeah, they're pumped.
Oh, yes.
They are pumped about it. They love going sledding with their friends. We live in right. a neighborhood. We've got hills around, and
yeah.
they're out there all the time with them.
Well,
so, yeah, it'll be fun.
Good
well,
stuff.
Hey, Dad, be careful because, you know, you're not as young as you once were. If you decide to join them.
I know that.
Says yep, the man who slid that. Down his driveway last time.
I was skating last weekend at LaHaye Ice Center.
Oh.
And I felt it the next day.
Yeah,
luckily, sure. I didn't break a bone or anything.
But, right. Well,
it's a workout on those legs.
No doubt. Hey, thank you, sir. Have a great weekend, and thanks for what you do for us on the weekends, giving us that weather forecast. Matt Ferguson.
You're very welcome. So happy to be part of the team.
Yes, sir. Matt Ferguson, and he is our resident meteorologist, Janet, and it sounds like he's been studying up on this one. I think he's giving us some good advice.
Deep down inside, he's really excited.
Oh, I know.
He really is. All right.
Well, good for him.
Well, this story, not as much of a feel-good story. We've been following it as it's been unfolding. This CNN producer, John Griffin,
right,
who is just the scum of the earth. Mm. Attorney Joel Faxon has filed a multi-million-dollar lawsuit on behalf of the 9-year-old girl that he abused.
Mm-hmm.
The mother that accepted the money, the plane tickets, all that,
right,
apparently an adoptive mother.
Oh, wow.
Flew the young girl to Vermont for a week of sexual abuse, basically. This child has been moved to a protected environment now. I'm assuming she's been taken away from the care of that woman.
Sure.
Said that the lawyer said you could imagine how traumatic being subjected to something like this is. In court filings of the recent ones, a pre-judgment remedy against Griffin has been placed,
mm-hmm,
because it would allow the plaintiff to secure assets before the case is even resolved that will tie up Griffin's wealth,
mm-hmm,
in case anything happens.
Okay.
And that's really important.
Yeah, yeah.
They say their main interest right now is to make sure he doesn't have the wherewithal to ever do this to another child.
Absolutely.
And Absolutely. He said this well-known civil trial lawyer in New York, Vermont, and Connecticut says, "I've done a lot of sex trafficking cases over the years. They get more and more depraved as time goes on."
Yeah, that's...
So hopefully we're going to see this guy get everything he deserves and then some. We'll be back with some Friday funnies. We'll lighten it up a little bit for your Friday. How about that?
That sounds like an idea.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's 8:18. When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
The definition of the word jam: to pack something tightly, a machine seizing or becoming stuck, a sweet preserve made from fruit. A common sense radio talk show, The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
Exercise in the world, and when I was y'all age, I was so gung-ho, and I wanted to go and do, and I wanted to be firm and tone, and then one day I just said, I don't care, but, and that's a good feeling too, but when I was y'all's age, I was big into CrossFit. Do y'all have CrossFit here? Ooh, I hope y'all don't end up in a boot. All right, it is bad mama jamma. And it came to Knoxville, and these young boys in their early 20s opened it up, and they were darling. And they both had little fannies that looked like baseballs. And I wanted my fanny to look like a baseball. So I got my good friend Becky. Becky and I joined CrossFit together. For those of you who don't know, it's like military moves, push-ups, pull-ups, that kind of thing. They'd put a big tractor tire in the parking lot, and they'd set Becky in it, and I'd pull her across the parking lot while she held her purse.
I thought she said Binky. I swear she was saying Binky.
Well, I speak fluent Tennessee, so anything you need interpreted. Also, fit is just one syllable, not in Tennessee. It's CrossFit. So, there is a difference there.
So that's at least two syllables, right?
Right.
Maybe sometimes three.
I'm making fun of myself. I have video footage where I can make anything into more than one syllable. So I get it. I really do get it.
Hmm.
So, well, apparently the liberals are in a panic about the 2024 debates already.
Yeah, they can't even decide whether Kamala and Joe are going to be on the
ticket. Are going to be running or not. That's right.
She was asked that question and didn't have an answer.
Well, an alarm has been sounded over liberals in the media because the Republican National Committees say they're going to boycott debates sponsored by the Commission on Presidential Debates.
They did this last go around, I think.
Which has organized the presidential and vice presidential debates for over three decades.
Right.
Look, I get it, though. They have not had a very fair...
No, moderator.
Moderators. I agree. They may as well fight it out now instead of waiting until 2024.
Oh, I agree. Fight it out now. Yeah.
In a letter from the RNC to the CPD, the committee said it will require its presidential candidates running in the 2024 election cycle to pledge not to participate in any debates run by the CPD. If the RNC follows through, it could likely lead to a massive shift in how presidential and vice presidential general election debates are even conducted.
Yeah.
The RNC has a duty to ensure that its future presidential nominees have the opportunity to debate their opponents on a level playing field.
Agreed.
So long as the CPD appears intent on stonewalling the meaningful reforms necessary to restore its credibility with the Republican Party as fair and nonpartisan, the RNC will take every step to ensure that future presidential nominees are given that opportunity elsewhere.
Well,
like I think it's good.
I think it's good too, but I'm.
It's outdated. It's biased.
Oh yeah, it's like the body mass index is. We're still running off the 1950s. I think. I agree that it needs to be more fair. I think that...
Of course, you want to know what Joy Behar said.
Oh, my
God.
Are
they afraid their candidates can't keep up? Are you kidding me?
She... Oh. I'm sorry. That lady just needs to...
Oh, my gosh.
Retire. Retire and do your daily tweets or something. I don't know. You know.
It just needs to be... It needs to be... Ask the questions. Let them answer the questions.
Right.
Don't have a slant on them.
Sure.
Just let them... Try to win over their constituents by showcasing what their ideas and what their plans are. That's all.
Hey, I have an idea. You have three major news networks. Have somebody from each one of those do a debate. Yeah, granted, MSNBC and CNN are more liberal, but you'd get Fox at least one debate, and it would be the most probably meaningful and something with some substance instead of just going out with, I got you, and stick the one in the Fox right in the middle. Here's how I would do. Do MSNBC first, get the bad, really bad one out of the way. Then do Fox in the middle and CNN last.
Let me tell you, all of the media people, all the liberal media people got their panties in a bunch when that came out.
Yeah.
They don't like it.
Well.
They just don't like it. But anybody who even watched a debate could see
how well, I mean,
skewed.
The Democrats have come out and said, if you're a Democrat, you should never appear on Fox. You know, so they've done that kind of stuff. They gave, I'll tell you what, Bret Baier gave Bernie Sanders a fair one-hour show, the town hall.
Uh-huh.
And it was informative.
Right.
You know, and I feel like Bret Baier is one of the more fair guys out there. And you know what? Chris Wallace can do the one for CNN since he left, you know, to go align himself with what's more his, you know, persuasion anyways.
Yeah.
So, but.
Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting. But honestly, the no good, very bad week that Joe Biden's had this week maybe you don't want to do a debate.
Well, Joe wants to make sure those votes are counted.
One thing for certain, like every other major civil rights bill that came along, if we missed the first time, we could come back and try it a second time.
Yeah, because that's how that works.
We missed this time.
Yeah, you did.
We missed this time. And the state legislative bodies continue to change the law, not as to who can vote, but who gets to count the vote. Count the vote. Count the vote.
No, say it again.
It's about election subversion, not just whether or not people get to vote. Who counts the vote?
Let me tell you, you know what is not trending this week?
What?
Hashtag count the vote. That's not, you know what is trending this week? What the number one hashtag is?
It's blah, 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 what?
Bear Shelves Biden.
Bear Shelves, oh.
Hashtag Bear Shelves Biden. That's what's been trending this week.
Wow.
With posted photos of empty grocery shelves, retail shelves, stemming from supply chain issues that Buttigieg says we don't have.
Yeah, he said, you know, he saved Christmas and he continues to save us. Yeah.
Consumer price index rose 7% in December from a year ago, according to the new Labor Department report.
Yeah.
When inflation hit 7.1%.
Hmm.
Groceries and rents jumped 0.5% in 1 month in November.
1 month, wow.
I mean, so that's just a few of the things, not to mention his 33% approval rating or his 53% disapproval rating. And the hit that he took from the Supreme Court.
Yeah, yesterday. They said, nope. I'm not going to let you use OSHA in that way. It wasn't intended to be used that way. Yep, Joe's not having a good week. Neither's Kamala. Neither one of them. That's why Hillary's going to save the nation. Hillary Clinton thinking about running again. You remember Hillary, don't you?
My personal emails are my personal business, right?
Did you wipe the server?
What, like with a cloth or something?
I don't know.
Why are you doing this to me?
You know how it works digitally. Did you try to wipe the whole thing?
I don't know how it works digitally at all.
What difference at this point does it make?
You'll hear more of that.
Hope not.
Hey, how about those debates between her and Donald? That would be fun.
Talk about terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
Why are you in my space, Donald?
I feel threatened. CBS News. Currently 36 degrees in Lynchburg, 38 in Bedford, 36 in Danville, 41 in Salem, 38 in Roanoke.
Semi-truck driver was pinned in a crash several hours before crews could get to him, free him. It happened in Bedford. It's a pretty scary-looking photograph, too. Just happened yesterday. The Bedford fire crews arrived at the scene to find the semi-truck overturned in a small sedan with a heavy damage blocking both lanes in Big Island. The Bedford Fire Department said it took a total of 50 minutes to work to extract the trapped semi-truck driver, not to mention all the time it takes to get those vehicles up. My father-in-law's in town. He's been watching a lot of that wrecker show, and I don't know, it's called Highway to Hell in Alaska or something, where they pull all these vehicles off these embankments. Pretty scary show. Anyway, this one ended up being a good ending because the only had minor injuries, the driver, and no life-threatening situations there. Virginia police, state police are investigating why the crash occurred.
Okay. We have this story out of Pulaski. As students are beginning virtual learning in Pulaski District, officials are offering assistance in the form of meal distributions. All students and children in Pulaski County ages 2 through 18 are eligible for meals. Those up to age 21 with disabilities are also eligible. The meals are being prepared and packaged by the Pulaski County Public Schools Nutrition Program. They'll be distributed at Kreitzer, Dublin, Pulaski County, Riverlawn, and Snowville. Parents or guardians can pick up the meals for their children at the designated meal distribution sites. Some may require cooking.
Yeah.
Also.
Got a song for my next story.
Oh, okay.
This song was popular while I was growing up. A little bit of Steppenwolf on the on the morning jam. Just going to let you hear the intro, then we'll jump into our story.
It's a big build-up, brother.
It really is. I like to dream. Yes, taking us down that magic carpet ride. Two Virginia lawmakers have introduced legislation that would help end felony penalties for the possession of psychedelic mushrooms, citing the drug's growing acceptance in medicinal contexts. Not purposes, but it's medicinal context.
I've never heard of medicinal mushrooms before.
Yeah, well, it's an increasing way to treat refractory depression and PTSD. Sorry. Let's see. That would be Don Adams. He is a delegate from Richmond and a nurse practitioner who also wants to get mushrooms decriminalized. How do you test these things anyways. I know mushrooms look different. It's just like everything else. Oh, it looks just a little bit different. But when you pick the wrong
because
one.
Because they can kill you.
Yes, you pick the wrong one, you're dead.
I'm sure there are ways that they can do. There's a lot of plants like that.
Right,
so I don't guess it's any different
call
than
call in a horticulturist or something. Hey, can I get a buzz on this one or can I just eat this one?
Yeah, I don't recommend gathering mushrooms on your own, whoever you are. That's just my advice. Governor-elect Glenn Youngkin has pledged to rescind the public health order that requires public and private school students to wear masks after he is sworn in tomorrow. Mm. However, lawmakers are split on what that will mean for individual school districts that want to do away with local mandates, regardless of the actions. Northam's office claimed school boards that end mask mandates will be in violation of a state law passed by the General Assembly, leaving them vulnerable to lawsuits.
Right.
Republicans disagree. At least one senator plans to ask the new attorney general to weigh in on that. Now, we just had a story earlier in the show today about Bedford.
Bedford County, K through 12, they decided last night, 5-2, to pass the elimination of a couple of things, the wearing of masks in class and also contact tracing, which was a little bit puzzling because you want to know where the virus is coming from.
Right.
But they decided 5-2 there as well. Students will be required to social distance in the classroom. They do want them to wear face masks on the school bus. And then also this twist, faculty and staff will also be required to wear masks in the school, but not the students. And the students' families have their choice, whatever they decide they want to do. It's their choice.
Well, we've been talking about this snowstorm that's coming, and if ever we were sure about
it being for real,
a snowstorm, this is certainly one of them. You can't help but worry about those who are homeless or who don't have proper shelter, and those who may not have homes that are equipped for what is yet to come. The Roanoke Rescue Mission is preparing for more guests ahead of this snowstorm. Of course, the doors are always open, but with the upcoming snowstorm this weekend, the Rescue Mission of Roanoke is preparing for more guests. The mission is ready to see an increase in guests, especially when snow or ice is in the forecast. And he said that if you see someone sleeping outside, to please ask them to seek shelter at the mission.
Right.
I will say this, if you are a member of a church who is going to be doing a temporary shelter or something like that, please let us know so we can share some information about that. I can't help but worry about that. There are so many people who are going to be quite vulnerable during the snowstorm.
Yeah.
So we just want to make sure that we can do what we can to help some of these folks be prepared for that. So maybe, you know, consider dropping some money or some goods over to places like the Salvation Army, Rescue Missions, some of those places.
Daily bread, that kind of thing, may have to take the magic carpet ride to get in here on Monday. I don't know.
Well,
could be doing
my man
the show.
Is off, so I will not be driving in regardless.
Okay.
So,
good.
Yeah.
I'll get to see that nice, pretty red truck again.
That's right. Yeah. Dashing through the snow in a big old Ram.
Tell him not
truck.
To shave for a couple of days. He look a little more like Santa Claus.
Well, depending on if we have
power,
power or not, that might.
Yeah, I might be picking up Trey on Monday before it's all over.
But, could be.
We're going to do our best to get here, and hopefully, you know, we're going to have power. We'll see what happens.
Well, everybody needs to be prepared for that. If you were with us earlier in the show, you heard us talking about how to prepare for a snow such as this.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things that you can do to make sure that you're ready. There are kits that you can have ready. You need 1 gallon of water per person for several days for drinking and sanitation. You need at least a 3-day supply of non-perishable food, battery powered or hand cranked radio. NOAA weather radio is good as well. You're going to want flashlights and extra batteries, maybe plastic sheeting or duct tape if you if it gets really cold, you might need to do that. There's a basic list of things that you can do to prepare for a winter storm. One of the things that we talked about was putting water into your tubs and sinks so that you can just flush the toilets.
Literally, yeah, because if you're on a well system and there's no power, there's no way to pump the water, and it takes, you know, you can...
Oh, Bear said I left out bourbon. I did leave out bourbon. I'm so sorry. Of course, I still have Bailey's gift from you all at my house.
Right, well.
So if it's I've got it behind a little glass. So if it's an emergency, I'll just
break the
break
glass,
it to get to
it. Well, look at the glass, Bailey. I mean, I had to break it.
I had
it
to do
obvious.
It.
It was obvious I needed it.
That's right.
There's always next year.
That's right. There is always next year. So good to keep in mind. But we do want everybody to stay safe and be careful. But do be prepared.
Yeah, and that's why I asked Matt the question too. What do we look like beyond just what happens Sunday into Monday? And we're going to have cold temperatures next week, and it's
not going to go anywhere.
Right. It's going to freeze. It's going to melt during the day and then freeze at night. It's going to be treacherous for the next, you know, several days, it looks like.
Yeah, for sure. So it would seem.
Get some food ready.
It's time for Janet's Five and Dine on the Morning Jam. Give her 5 minutes and she'll give you some great inspiration for a delicious meal tonight.
Five and Dine is brought to you by our friends at F&L Market. They're located in Midtown on Memorial Avenue, and their shelves are stocked. They're ready to serve you. Fill up that pantry, fill up that freezer, cutting and grinding fresh meats every single day. Today's recipe is one that you could make ahead, and it doesn't matter if you have a stove or not. You'll have a nice dinner waiting for you. It's a Thai chicken salad with a peanut dressing. You're going to need a coleslaw mix and 3 cups of shredded cooked chicken. Now, you can cook that yourself. It's also a great way to use a rotisserie chicken in a delicious meal. You're going to mix that together with 1/4 cup of scallions, a red bell pepper that you've chopped, 1/2 cup of chopped peanuts, and 1 handful of fresh cilantro chopped, and some fresh basil, salt, and pepper. After you get all that mixed together, you're going to make this delicious, beautiful, yummy dressing to go on top of it. 5 tablespoons of creamy peanut butter, 2 tablespoons of a tamari soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of fresh lime, 1 tablespoon of honey, 1/2 teaspoon of sesame oil, 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, some fresh ginger, and a little bit of water to get it to the consistency of dressing that you want it to have. Then you just toss it together. I like to sprinkle it with some sesame seeds, put a few more scallions on top, and that is a delicious meal that you don't even have to heat up.
Love it.
So you want to see the recipe, all you need to do is go to our Facebook page, type in Janet's Five and Dine. You'll find this recipe and all the recipes that we share, and that's brought to you courtesy of F&L Market, where their meats are cut above.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
I come from a long line of Southern cooks, and one thing my mama always told me was ingredients matter. That's why I trust the experienced butchers at F&L Market, Lynchburg's only locally and family-owned independent grocery store. Their staff cuts and grinds fresh meats daily and will offer you the personal service you desire for everyday meals or special occasions. This week at F&L Market, save on all things sirloin. Whole sirloin tips are $4.99 a pound. Sirloin top roast, $6.49 a pound. And family pack boneless top sirloin steaks, $5.99 a pound. You'll also save with the Lux Bean Sale, 10 for $6. Covered wagon bacon is $32.95 for a 10-pound box. Become a VIP Savings Club member by texting F&L Market to 833-605-1804. Stop by F&L Market today, 2517 Memorial Avenue, Lynchburg. Their meat is a cut above.
So my 60th birthday rolls around. That's a big one, sir. 6-0, waiting for my gift. 6-0 birthday gift. She buys me 12 hours with a personal trainer named Todd. Hi, Jeff. I'm 2% body fat, Todd. Well, hey, 2%, I'm 80% flabby Jeff. How you doing? First question he asked me, how long has it been since I had an exercise program? Well, let me ponder that one, Toto. It's gonna take a while to do the math here. I'm 60. Well, 60 years, 9 months. Didn't take that long at all.
Oh,
What would you think if you got that as a gift?
Jeff Allen's good. Oh, well, I, you know.
That could be, that could be to, considered I, a little well, insulting.
Well, it could be, but I'd have to look down and see if I could see my feet or not and decide whether.
my kids got my ex a shirt one time that said, I'm in shape, rounds of shape.
Rounds of shape.
Rounds of shape. he didn't like it.
Well,
he was a little insulted.
Well, let's see if we can insult this guy. Trey Lyle in the studio with us right now. He is the sports guy, the sports fanatic here. Helps us out with our show. He also works with Ed Lane at the Fast Lane. 5 o'clock, heard on our CBS affiliate.
I just do everything.
You do it all. So give us really quick what's going on this weekend. In other words, if we could lose our power, let's just say we lose our power, and we have a radio. Can we still listen to the games?
You can listen to every playoff game on 93.3 CBS Sports Radio Lynchburg or the CBS Sports Radio Lynchburg app. Obviously, if the power goes out here, not here at the station, but at our towers,
right,
you can head to the app both for WIQL, any one of our feeds, and you can listen anytime on the app as well. So want to throw that in there. Well, this is shaping to be a pretty fun set of games. You got two on Saturday, three on Sunday, and then unique this year, Monday Night Football
is going to do a playoff
weekend. So right. It's a fun slate of games. Kicks off 4 o'clock tomorrow with the Raiders from Las Vegas and the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think that could be one of the best games of the weekend. You got Joey B, Joe Burrow, and versus Derek Carr. So it's going to be a fun quarterback
matchup.
Let's
get beyond the sports talk and let's talk Nickelodeon. The funnest game over the weekend is going to be on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, so you have, Trey.
And they did this last year.
They did it last year, honestly, and that's how I watched the game.
Right.
Trey Watkins, the worst team to root for, the Dallas Cowboys, taking on San Francisco 49ers. I think on Monday it was like the 30-year anniversary of the catch, something like that.
Right.
So, this is two historic franchises, two of the best franchises, historically, and big rivals in the NFC playing each other in a playoff game. That's on Nickelodeon. It's a show catered towards kids, so, if you want dads out there, big hint, if you get your kids to watch football, tune into Nickelodeon.
What's unique? Just tell us really quick, and then I'm kicking you out of here.
They explain the game to kids in a different way, and they have, different
green
graphics.
Green slime.
They throw slime out there. The winning coach got slime last year, so it would be cool to see, hopefully Kyle Shanahan, the coach of the 49ers, get slime.
And, when people are running down the field to score a 70-yard touchdown, they put, little things effects on their bodies to make them look like Flash or something.
It's really cool.
It's
to
cool.
See. It highly recommend especially if you have kids.
Yeah.
To watch the game that way through Nickelodeon, and it's a good excuse if you have kids can't watch the game on the big TV because they need to watch cater to them. Just flip it on to Nickelodeon. You get football.
Okay. All right. Thanks, man. Have a good week. And just tell me, how big is the win for Philly over Tampa?
I think they're going to win. It's going to be a close game. I think, the injuries for Tampa Bay, if this was a fully healthy Tampa Bay, I'm picking Tampa because they did beat Philadelphia earlier in the year. But I think Philadelphia's improved enough to get by Tom Brady. And you think about it, the Eagles had success against Tom Brady.
I'm not asking for commentary. I'm just asking for a winner. I love you, man.
Love you, too.
I think Terrific Tom is going to, or Tom Terrific is going to pull it out.
That's a safe pick. Hey, Tom Brady, man, that's going on the limb.
Oh, thanks. Jeez, he's a little angry, isn't he? Slammed the door? Has he been hanging out with Joe Biden?
I don't know. I think
is he counting the votes?
I think he's had a lot of coffee, though.
Yeah, probably. So.
I do think he's had a lot of coffee.
It's going to be a great weekend, though. If you're going to be snowed in, you're going to get football if you have power. And if you don't, make sure you got batteries for those radios. Janet said get batteries. There's probably no batteries left.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility.
So you got a redneck forecast. Is that where you're pointing at your computer? No? What am I missing here?
It's like an adult version of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
What is this?
If you've ever dreamed of being like Charlie in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and winning the grand prize, here's your chance.
Not only can
you find a golden ticket, and we're not talking about winning a lifetime of chocolate. You're looking for the golden Budweiser can.
Oh, you're kidding.
Just in time
for
football.
You're kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doing the same. How many are
you're there? Hunting for a golden can and entering to win $1 million.
So do you have to buy the boxed version? Because otherwise you'd see it.
It's called Live Like a King.
Okay.
And the King of Beer is hiding 10,000 golden cans in cases of Budweiser across the country.
I'm going to be buying me a case of Bud.
If you find a golden can, you're eligible to win $1 million grand prize.
Wow.
All you have to do is snap a photo of the can, post it on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and tag Budweiser at Budweiser USA, along with the hashtags Live Like a King and hashtag Sweepstakes.
10,000, that's a lot.
It's just like, it's just like Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a beer fan, you can join in the fun and possibly win some money. You can print a picture of the golden can from the Budweiser website.
Okay.
Slap it on your favorite beverage and follow the social media instructions above. Wow. Everybody gets a golden can.
There's got to be like a serial number on the golden can,
too. It wouldn't be the same if you didn't have the golden can. Sorry.
Yeah.
You need to have the golden can.
Yeah. Because I'm seeing fraud.
You're not a Budweiser guy.
Well, but I can.
But you could be for a day.
I could be for $1 million. I could be a Budweiser guy.
Interesting that they're doing this.
I'd be a Pabst Blue Ribbon guy for $1 million.
Look, PBR is very popular with the fancy pants people.
I thought it was just more popular with the older crowd, which
I am becoming part of.
It's
very popular with millennials.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
I did not know.
It's served on tap in some of the little trendy little bars. See, and... Because I was dumbfounded.
I'm dumbfounded, too, because you got all the little microbreweries that the trendy kids, you know, the hipsters like.
I think that's why they're leaning away from it, is
right.
Because...
It's become a thing.
They don't want it to be a thing.
Right.
So
Pabst is becoming a thing.
Evidently.
I wonder if they'll get their own version of the Clydesdales. You know, a bunch of jackasses.
I don't know, but there was one... What?
A bunch of jackasses running around.
Clydesdales.
You know, donkeys.
Clydesdales aren't donkeys.
No. I'm saying Pabst Blue Ribbon would have their version of like some donkeys.
Instead of the Clydesdales.
And they glued on furry feet.
They had just a little Velcroed wigs on their feet.
Velcroed velvet.
Velvet. Have you ever been a part of a donkey basketball game?
Oh, I have. It almost killed me. It literally almost killed me.
They're so uncooperative.
Oh my gosh.
They're not cooperative at all. Hey, I'm pretty excited about this one. In Tennessee,
yeah,
they have created the world's largest cast iron skillet. Yeah.
How big is the world's largest?
Well, it had to be hauled by a semi.
Holy
along I-59.
I got to look the picture up.
The massive skillet.
You know what you could do? You could fry the Idaho potato in there because it's huge, too.
I know. Except this is a real cast iron skillet.
Wow.
It's making its way to the Lodge Cast Iron Shop.
Huh.
Where guests will eventually be able to feast their eyes on it.
Okay.
It's said to be the world's largest. It's 18 feet from handle to edge.
Wow.
And it weighs 14,360 pounds.
Holy cow.
And it's just one part of a museum planning to open in late summer 2022. I feel obligated to go to that. I'm just saying. I love me some cast iron cooking.
Yeah.
Those visiting will be able to get a closer look at the history behind the cast iron skillet. And we'll go behind the scenes to see what it takes to make some of the skillets, hearing the stories surrounding some of the collections and southern dishes served up inside them.
Wow, I'm looking at some giant skillets, not that big.
It seems wrong that the Cast Iron Museum is in South Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Apparently there's a Pittsburgh, Tennessee.
Oh, I did not know.
Because I was like, why is this in Pittsburgh? A family-owned foundry in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, since 1896.
Wow. I'm seeing a huge dilemma here.
I could cook cornbread for everybody.
You could, no doubt.
I could do it.
Do you root for the Steelers or the Tennessee Titans? Because they're doing so good this year.
Why does it always come back to football? You know I don't care.
Hey, make today awesome. Please be careful this weekend. Jan, and I really, really mean that, because we want you to be able to join us on Monday morning.
Yes, stay warm and safe.
Yeah, as we will unpack what happens over Sunday. Have a great weekend.